You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 12 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. In the show today, we're going to chat with Mia Kruger and touch on that Marion Roberts deal, a $400 million Australian dollar contract in Australia, of course. Kieran Ryan, Bitcoin. We're going to talk the arbitrage. We will, but also a bit of a crash yesterday, at one point down 20-odd percent on the day. Has recovered off those 30,000 levels to around $35,000. Bitalbuy's CEO, online shopping. I'm particularly interested in, we saw a lot of new people coming into the online shopping over the course of the year. Did that hold over the holiday period? MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, that Marion Roberts subsidiary in Australia and that 4.8 billion rand contract. And business day, Johnson & Johnson vaccine results expected in 10 days' time. It's a big deal for South Africa. Aspen will be doing about 30 million vials per year at its sterile plant in Port Elizabeth. They won't be producing. They'll be fill-in packaging. It's not going to be a profit spinner for them. But it does perhaps give us some hope for vaccine inside the country. As I say, expecting some up update and its efficacy within the next week or half. US markets red overnight, S&P off 0.7, NASDAQ down 1.3%. Asia is green, but only just. Sydney up 0.03% and Tokyo up 0.04%. Commodities mixed, gold 1851, rand 1556. Top 40 opening call, looking for a green open, about 0.25% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger. She, of course, a director at Kruger International. Mia, morning. Happy New Year. First time we're chatting. Appreciate your early mornings. The Marion Roberts announcing yesterday they've got a $400 million contract, Australian dollar contract in Australia. They move away from classic construction. It really has been working. It's ticking along nicely. They have managed to position the company and find work in their new areas.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, you're right. They are actually bolstering their already strong order book that they, you know, came to the market with last year. Well, we've also seen that order book for a while. But the order book is growing. This is the second transaction now that's adding to that. And this will probably help them return to profitability during this year. You mentioned, you know, this is the second Australian deal that we've heard of now. They've moved away, they've repositioned the business slightly. They sort of in this project through their subsidiary, they will be working on the Waitsia Stage 2 development project in this Western Australia, which is the largest onshore gas field, gas mine that they've found in Australia thus far. So it's said to be a big economic driver, not only for Marion Roberts, but also for the area in Australia. And they hope that this will sort of help after COVID-19 to resuscitate the economy there in the West, in the Midwest in Australia. So this is a big project. It's smaller than the previous one that they were awarded with the Spanish infrastructure and concession group, Elecnor, in October last year. But both these really contribute to an already strong strong order book. So I think it's actually looking better for Marion Roberts than it has for some time.
Yeah, and certainly you mentioned the Spanish one there as well, that they're becoming very much a global operation, which is what they want. Of course, one of their challenges is Aeton. I mean, Aeton tried to take them out. It didn't pass competition muster, but they've all still got almost 44%. I mean, is that a risk, or is it perhaps they'll come back? I mean, if you were looking to invest in it, how would you view what is essentially negative control? And Marion Roberts and Aeton weren't best of friends when that deal was trying to happen.
Yes, you're right, Simon. But you know, there's at this stage for you as an investor or potential investor, not much you can do about this. You'll have to watch it play out. And you know how it goes. If we, as soon as the financial stability of the company picks up and the profitability returns, then you know bad relationships tend to turn a little bit more positive than they used to be. So that could be in their favor. We should just keep an eye on it and watch how it plays out. At this stage, you know, personally, we're not investors in the infrastructure space. Yet we focus mm-hmm. on infrastructure in South Africa, but more on the renewable energy side, as you are aware.
Yes.
So, you know, we think that these companies, they might be in a good position going forward, but even for the companies in South Africa that's still focused very much on the South African economy, we need to watch the space of the government spending and when that's going to start. Hopefully it'll take, it'll start in this year. There's been big promise around infrastructure spending in South Africa by government to resuscitate the economy on this side and to create jobs. So yes, we need to watch that space, but I'm not overly optimistic that they'll benefit during this year yet. So if you're longer term holder, then it might not be a bad position to actually still keep this company now, because they're looking better than they have been.
But you almost allude to a point there, that, and I know we've spoken about renewable energy, renewable infrastructure a fair bit last year. Of course, Kruger International's got that Titicama renewable project listed. In a sense, that almost is going to give me more longevity, less cyclicality. That's what I'm looking for. Construction has always just been so cyclical. The renewable removes that out of the process.
Absolutely. You've got that spot on, you know, so it's a completely different investment all in all. It really reduces the cyclicality. It's got a long-term project. It's got a very steady income profile. And we've already received our first dividend to the end of last year, which absolutely just blew the lights out. It was much better than we expected. So at this stage, you know, we're looking at a much larger income for the first 6 months of the investment than we've already anticipated for. But as you mentioned, you know, another big thing for us was when we included this into three of our unit trust funds in South Africa, we've actually reduced the volatility profile of those funds by the fact that all three of those funds have around about a 5% investment in the project, which is really beneficial for investors, because what that actually means is when the market goes down, that'll actually buffer the fund to an extent. Against market volatility.
Yeah, people still need their power supply when markets are having rough times. We'll leave it there. Mio Kruger, Director, Kruger International. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kieran Ryan. Here's MoneyWeb contributor on everything crypto. Kieran, morning. Appreciate your time. I spoke to my producer yesterday. I said, let's talk the Bitcoin arbitrage. But then, of course, Bitcoin does what it truthfully sometimes does best, which is a swan dive off the edge. At one point yesterday, Bitcoin was down over 20%. It had been almost 42,000 late last week. People who are new to Bitcoin might be freaked by this, but truthfully, if you've been watching the crypto space the last 5 or 10 years, this is what happens.
That's right. In fact, those who were around in 2017, this might look very familiar, because what happened then, you had Bitcoin reaching an all-time high, which at that time was about $20,000. Mm-hmm. And it spent the next year and a bit going down, dropping by 84%. 84%, and I think you and I were probably sitting through that. We're not terrified by a 20% drop anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, it's almost become immune to it. We chatted late last year, in fact, in our recorded interviews, and we were made to look a bit like mugs, because at the time of recording, Bitcoin was under 20. At the time of release, it was probably it was close to 40 already, certainly over 30. And it is that huge level of volatility that exists within the cryptos. We've mentioned the downside, but equally so to the upside. It doubled in literally a couple of weeks. And you know, as an investor / trader in cryptos, it is par for the course.
Exactly. In fact, I remember the conversation we were having. You were asking me, do I think it's going to reach $20,000?
Yeah.
And you know, I was very brave, and I said, yes. Well, of course, it crashed right through that and went all the way to nearly $42,000. Yeah. So this is a volatile asset, and you know, a drop of 20-25% was overdue and expected. You know, when you see that kind of parabolic rise in Bitcoin, it's happened before. It always sort of comes down and it settles. But I think this time is different to 2017 for a number of different reasons. You didn't have the institutional backing behind Bitcoin that you now have back in 2017. At that time, it was mainly retail investors. Now you've got companies like MicroStrategy and like Square, big, big investors on Wall Street, even JP Morgan, Bank of America, giving it a thumbs up and saying this thing is going higher. That has changed fundamentally over the last few years. And why has it changed? Why is it all of a sudden getting this institutional backing? Because I think they can see some fairly reckless central bank behavior around the world with money printing, the bailouts that are happening. And that's never going to happen with Bitcoin, because you're always going to have this cap of 21 million. There's never going to be more than 21 million in issue. So that solves this one of the big problems that you have with central bank monetary policy is unlimited issuance of currency.
Yeah, and it does give independence, as Simon Dingle will insist I mention. Bitcoin might have crashed some 20-odd%, but it's still about 6 times where it was just a year ago. Lastly, Karen, the reason I really wanted to chat to you was the Bitcoin arbitrage, where, and I'm running the numbers this morning, it's not as exciting. If you take Bitcoin 35,000, the Rand dollars, Rand 1555, we get to about 544,000 ZAR. But on sites such as Luno, currently it's trading at 549,000. That's only about 1%. We've sometimes seen that arbitrage up as much as 4, 5, 6%. Is that an opportunity? Albeit we've got exchange controls and, of course, the risk of price movement to buy in the US and to sell in South Africa.
There is arbitrage opportunities. It used to be much higher. Back in 2017 in December, that arbitrage gap went as high as 24% and even 30% on occasion. It's nothing like that now. So 4 or 5% is pretty much the top end of what you're seeing when you're trying to arbitrage Bitcoin at the moment. There are ways that you can actually lock that in. So a company like OVEX here in South Africa, they would do it for you. They don't do it through Bitcoin. They do it through what they call a stable coin called TrustUSD. But you can actually lock in your arbitrage profit from the moment that you buy in. So there is no risk. That is the great thing about arbitrage, is that you're not really in the market for very long. I've done it on a few occasions where while you're waiting for the Bitcoin, you buy it cheaply overseas and you send it back to South Africa. And while you're waiting for that to happen, the price can plunge and you can lose. There is that risk. But there are a lot of companies now coming out that are doing this in some very clever ways. But as more and more people get involved in it, that arbitrage gap is becoming smaller. Yeah. So, but even 4 or 5%, after your costs are taken in, you might come out net with about 3%. It's still interesting for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
You hear about these crypto scams that are offering 10% per month. Well, arbitrage is a way of doing it relatively risk-free without having to put your Bitcoin at risk.
Yeah, without putting the Bitcoin, although perhaps as we do more of it, classic arbitrage, it becomes more efficient and it starts to fade away. We'll leave that there. Kieran Ryan, MoneyWeb contributor in the crypto space, appreciate the time.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Craig Luby. He is CEO of Bid or Buy, one of South Africa's first e-commerce sites. Craig, morning. Appreciate your time. I want to talk Christmas sales, but before I get to that, I mean, when we went into that hard lockdown back in late March, April last year, and e-commerce was largely shut down because courier companies weren't shipping. I remember the debate around that, even under Level 4. Once it started to sort of reopen, was there the expected surge or of demand on platforms such as yours, or was it a more sort of cautious and slow uptake as people entered the online space for a lot more perhaps than they would normally have been purchasing?
Good morning. So the hard lockdown on level four, I think just going back to that first, mm-hmm. It was devastating. You know, we talk about it from our business point of view, but remembering that we represent many small businesses and individuals who use the platform to trade, you know, we went from one day existing to almost practically not existing following that. So yes, it was absolutely devastating. Coming into the point where e-commerce was allowed, we saw a massive surge. I can liken it to our typical, what we would have expected for a typical Black Friday. It would be that type of activity, but over a prolonged period. So going into the latter part of June and particularly July, we saw a massive increase. And with that, it did bring a number of challenges. I think many of the courier companies had just gone from practically not operating to now filling the vehicles and trying to find out how best to deal with this increased demand. So yes, we went from practically no trade to an unimaginable amount of trade in a very short space of time.
Yeah, and the courier companies definitely struggled. They seem to have got it right. Of the new customers who then came onto your site, are they seeing? I mean, are they sticking around? Have we grown the universe of people using e-commerce in South Africa from what was a very, very low base? But is it fair to say a year later it's undoubtedly bigger?
Absolutely. So, you know, one thing we often would look at in the past would be, you know, when we see surges or when we see a number of customers accessing our site, and we typically saw that during work hours during the day, and now we are seeing in our typical South African periods where we would have been slightly more quiet, like Saturdays and Sundays, we're seeing that slowly leveling out. And that's a lot more indicative of a slightly more mature market. Although I agree, we definitely are still in our infancy, and you know that initial surge that we saw a lot of people registering, and I think a few people dabbling, and we saw that surge, but that has, I would say, gradually come back to a slightly more normal version of what we expect of growth in the industry now. But yes, certainly we've seen a lot of new customers that we didn't necessarily have access to in the past, and you know, I find that very encouraging overall.
And are we seeing sort of new, in the olden days, you know, there was obvious certain things you would buy online. You know, some of them would be digital products. Often they would be perhaps smaller electronic goods and that sort of thing. Are we seeing the landscape of products being purchased sort of broaden to more categories and perhaps more sort of general categories? I mean, I know, for example, the retailers are starting to really move in the grocery space. Are you seeing broadening of categories?
Yes, so in fact, even on our platform, we've seen an entry into groceries, which is something you would not have typically associated or buy with. Mm-hmm. We've had some large liquor retailers also join. Obviously, right now they're not trading, but we've seen a different expansion into different categories. And you know what we also saw toward the latter part of the lockdown is the types of categories that we would see performing really well in relation to each other was different. So we saw things like our toys and hobbies categories. People were buying things to use at home, I think for children, and our digital products, you know, such as online gaming credits, etc., which have always done fairly well, but they were much higher than what we would have normally expected prior to a Christmas period. And DIY and home goods in general also saw a dramatic increase. So this year, I think, will be a year to watch. I'm not too sure where that how that will change, you know, in this prolonged period as we get, I think, closer to a new version of normal. We'll have to watch and see how that progresses.
That we'll leave that there. Craig Luby, he's CEO of Bid or Buy. Appreciate the time this morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. That's it for the show today. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available where all good podcasts are aggregated at 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for listening, my guests for the early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.